Hi, welcome
to Getting Literate.
You said it. There it is.
I said it.
Yeah, you did. Thank you. I'm Katie.
I'm Julia. What are we reading today?
We read Breakfast at Tiffany's. Cute little
umbrella. What are we drinking today?
Tiffany mimosas.
Fucking cheers.
Which are adorable. They're so pretty. I love them.
Yours looks so pretty. Oh my god. Mm-hmm.
I added lemon juice instead of lemonade, which I think made the difference.
Oh. Mm-hmm. See, I didn't add any lemon. I was like blue curacao and prosecco.
Did you read the recipe?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Not well enough, I don't think. But okay.
We're getting literate. So yeah, that's I read true. It and I was like, mm-mm.
We're not mm-mm. literate yet, clearly.
Nope.
Oh, well. That's fine. Oh. Yeah, the lemon or the lemonade, well, is that what makes it? Whew, I am drunker than I thought I was. That's what'll make it the signature Tiffany color, which is very fun and exciting.
Cheers.
Yeah, cheers. Yeah, we read Breakfast at Tiffany's. Do you want to tell me about Breakfast at Tiffany's, or should I tell you about Breakfast at Tiffany's? How many times can I say Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Every time she says a drink, please tell us about Breakfast at Tiffany's.
I will tell you about Breakfast at Tiffany's. I would love to tell you about Breakfast at Tiffany's. Breakfast at Tiffany's is written by Truman Capote, who you may know from... If you ever had to read To Kill a Mockingbird in school, that was Dill or whatever the hell that character. The friend of Harper Lee. He was good friends with Harper Lee. What's her face?
They were besties?
They were like childhood friends, and so that character is based on Truman Capote, which I think is really cute. Yeah. Well, he's like from the South. Anyways, we'll get into that later because I have a lot to talk about his life.
The language that was used.
Well, it's also published in 1958, so you may know it from the film adaptation of it, which I think came out in the 60s, I want to say. That doesn't really matter, though, because we're here to talk about the novella he wrote.
Woo!
Where in autumn of 1943, the unnamed narrator, I think his name is like Paul in the movie, he doesn't get a name in this one, but he becomes friends with Holly Golightly. And she's wonderful and she's great. And they're both tenants in a brownstone apartment in Manhattan's Upper East Side. And Holly is like around 18 or 19. She's a country girl to a New York cafe society girl. As such, she has her job and lives by socializing with wealthy men who take her to clubs and restaurants and give her money and expensive presents. And she hopes to marry one of them. According to Capote, Golightly is not a prostitute, but an American geisha, which is like a choice of, like, language, but sure, whatever. Holly likes to shock people with carefully selected tidbits from her personal life or her outspoken viewpoints on various topics, and over the course of a year, she slowly reveals herself to the narrator, who finds himself quite fascinated by her curious lifestyle and the curious characters that enter into it. So, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Very, very fun. Very fun little read. Super quick.
Yes.
But not interchangeable with the movie, which is fun and exciting. Entirely different ending. I don't know. Have you seen the movie?
Nope.
Have you at least listened to Audrey Hepburn sing? No, but I, you know, sometimes I'd like for you to surprise me with, like, out, you know, for me to underestimate you, maybe, would be fun. It's a classic. It's Audrey Hepburn, and she sings Moon River, and it's so good. By her? Her rendition of it? Or the Frank Sinatra one? Or the Frank Ocean one?
I am a big fan of Frank Sinatra, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Old Blue Eyes. Yeah. Well, yeah. That's okay. I'm not going to hold it against you, but I do want you to know that it's going on the list of movies I'm going to make you watch. So.
Okay.
Hope you enjoy it. But yeah, it's really different from the... really different from the book because the movie is a romantic comedy. And this is very much so not a romantic comedy.
No. It's not very calm.
Not at all, actually.
No.
So, yeah. I haven't talked to you about this at all. But I'm curious to know how you felt about it. I think you're going to give it 3.5 stars.
Ooh, yeah. You're close. I give 4. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, it was fun. I really liked it.
Here's and a case of I'll explain
why. I really liked it later. Okay. Unless you want to explain it now, but I kind of want to know why you like it. So I think you rated it 4.5.
No, you're actually off by 1/2 star. It's 4. 4 from Katie.
Oh, wow. So, twins. Yeah, hello.
I know. Hi. I think that we get... You have to drink because you got it 1/2 star off, and then we also have to drink because we have the same rating, and that's a new rule I've implemented right now.
Yeah, that's so, just...
Cheers.
Cheers.
So, Breakfast at Tiffany's. What did you like about it? What were your top 3 things about it, Julia? What made it 4 stars?
Okay. First of all, before we talk about this book, what are we going to call the narrator? Like... Holly called him Buster and Fred throughout the novel. So yeah. What are we gonna refer to him as the narrator?
I like calling him Paul. I think that's his name in
okay,
the movie.
Okay, we'll call him Paul.
And it distinguishes him from the other Fred. And I think she calls a few people uh-huh. Buster because it's like a nickname.
So we're gonna all give right him a name. There, Buster.
His name's Paul. Great okay. accent.
Thanks for lying to me. Yeah. Okay, so top 3. Holly Golighty. She was very fun. I love her. Mm-hmm. She has a good time. Mm-hmm. Loved her. She's the top 3. When Paul saved the cat, that was really good. I really liked that. That was a good little way to end it. And my favorite was when they went shopping together and then they stole the Halloween masks and they ran all the way home still wearing the mask. That was so fun. Yeah. It was so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cute moment. Yeah. What was your top 3?
Oh, I was like, what's your third one? But you, okay, Holly, and then
the Holly, cat at the saving end. Cat, stealing then, the mask.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, my top 3, I love the introduction that we get to Holly. It's mm-hmm. so good. Like, the, mm-hmm. I lost my keys. And then she's like, and if you want to come into my apartment, you better give me more than fucking 20 cents when I go to the bathroom. Like, I love Literally. Her for that. And then I really love the quote that she does. It's not really a quote, but it's, like, the little bit that she does where she talks about the mean Reds. I think that that's just so, like,
mm-hmm.
cute. And I just, I don't know, I really like mm-hmm. that whole description of, like, angst. Like, it's so good.
I agree.
Yeah. And then, you know, when she gets the letter in the hospital, is it in the hospital?
Yeah. Yeah.
She gets the letter in the hospital and she doesn't read it. She's like, a girl doesn't read this sort of thing without her lipstick on. And she like has to do her whole face.
That was so nice.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
That was so nice.
So those are the things we loved. What did you hate?
So there was some jarring language.
Yeah.
In the novel, and it was because of the times, but also just like Paul described Rusty's ass as spankable. Like we met him and we're like, oh,
yeah, he did.
Just a spankable ass. And I'm like,
well,
hello? Yeah. Sir?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
This book's a little
interesting.
Pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. Another worst is Paul and Holly had a falling out because Paul just was a man, so he couldn't take constructive criticism.
Yep.
I was like, oh god.
Was this when she references Wuthering Heights? Is that the one that you're talking
Pardon?
About? When she's talking about Wuthering Heights, is this the exchange that you're talking about? And she sends him out of the room?
I don't know. It's just whenever they had a falling out, like she was like, yeah, I think it's the Wuthering Heights one.
Yeah, she's like, you have 4 seconds to leave my house.
Yeah, that one. Exactly.
Drink.
Cheers.
Love it.
And my worst was Doc Golighty because fuck a pedophile.
Yeah. Yeah. Gross. So gross.
Gross.
Poor Holly.
It's tragic. Yeah.
I was like re-skimming it today and she's like, there's like a mm-hmm. whole thing where she talks about all of the people that she slept with and or not all of them, but like she talks about sleeping with a bunch of people and she's like, oh, you know, like I've slept with 11 people, you know, is that a lot? And that's only since I was 13 because of course anything before that doesn't count. And I was like, oh, Holly.
I know, right? Tragic. Yeah.
So Very sad. Doc sucks, for sure. Weirdly enough, didn't make my worst.
What made your worst?
I don't know. It didn't, because there's, my worst is kind of the stuff that, like, made me kind of, like, that broke my heart a little bit. And so that thing from Polly broke my heart, but it didn't actually make the list, because there were so many things in this book that broke my heart. But yeah, that definitely, that, like, Wuthering Heights, when, because the reason it, yeah, so the Wuthering Heights thing is because she's like, yeah, your story sucks, and it's kind of annoying, and you need to, like, talk to somebody who knows what they're doing in the field so that you stop just, like, writing what you think is good, and you can actually get some, like, guidance, and the person who can get your stories out in the world, like,
is please get a mentor and agent. You need
work, yeah, and she's like, yeah, Wuthering Heights is a work of genius. And then she, and he's like, oh, really? That's crazy. Like, I can never write something that good. Which, like, bro, Wuthering Heights ain't that good. But it's fucking, it's just crazy people in the wilderness. But whatever. Anyways, and then he realizes she's talking about the movie. And he's like, oh, you don't read. And there's a little bit of me in that exchange where I'm like, you haven't seen that? But it's fine.
Okay, Brad.
Yeah, so it's fine. But yeah, I don't love that. I don't love that scene. That one hurt. And then also when she lets Kat go.
Oh, that's tragic.
And she lets him go. And then she's like, wait, no, I want him back. And then she can't find him. Hurt my heart.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah. Also, Mae Wildwood. Hated her. Hated her a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought she was a fan.
She said Hitler was right.
Yeah. I'm not saying anything about that, but she did get drunk and try to pick a fight with every single man at that one party, and that was entertaining.
Yeah, I don't know, but then she was like just kind of like weird. I really like, I did not love her vibe at all, and if she had been anywhere near me in any room,
vibes.
I was like, I don't like, I wouldn't enter a room you were in. Ugh, not a fan. So I just want to make it clear, Hitler was wrong.
Hitler is wrong. We both agree.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah, he was wrong. And Mae's not right for saying it. However, she's a fictional character, and I think she was just fucking funny. She was so pathetic.
That's fair.
And that was funny to laugh at. Of course she's going to say Hitler was wrong. She was a fucking idiot the whole book. Or she said Hitler was
wrong. Yeah, she said Hitler was
wrong. Sorry, like, I'm drunk.
I knew where you were going.
She was silly.
It's a good thing you clarified. Yeah. I knew where you were at.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I hated her, and I did not. I was like, you're funny, but not in a way that makes me comfortable. So, wasn't.
I like laughing at her, so.
Your vibes suck. So, didn't pass the vibe check. You're on my worst list. So, yeah.
Well, respect the hell out of that.
Cheers. I'll drink to that.
Cheers. I want to talk about why I love this book so much, and I think you're gonna roll
please
your
do.
Eyes
but please I'm very do excited. No, I want to hear it.
Okay, this novel gives novella whatever it gives me great Gatsby vibes, like Paul reminds me so much of Nick Carraway, like the love for the narrator who's just out living the best party life. It's in a post-war society. Yeah. Also, just like the climax happening on like Paul's birthday, which is Nick Carraway, like the climax happens on his birthday.
Yeah,
they're just hopelessly in love with someone just so not flighty to them, and I just flighty and everything
ditzy.
And I just like ditzy, silly,
yeah,
just a different social class, and they're just like,
yeah,
they're just like, so like there's such a class difference, and I was like, I'm just reading about hetero Nick Carraway right now.
Yeah. And yeah, in this book Holly's the one who's a little fruity, which is fun.
Yeah.
I loved it. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I don't know how I didn't pick up on that before. It's totally Gatsby vibes. Like, absolutely.
Right?
Yes. Yes. Oh, I love that. What's fun?
What?
Well, so, okay. So, I was, like, rewatching, like, clips of Breakfast at Tiffany's today because I wanted to see, like, where the differences were in between the two of them. Like, in between the book and the movie. And they totally, like, bill it as, like, this, like, huge party, or, like, somehow in this book, like, Holly is both, like, Daisy and Gatsby, you know?
that's and the ideal movie version, role for a woman.
I know, right? I mean, like, it kind of, like, Truman mm-hmm. Capote really picked up on the fact that, like, who are the two people in love with Gatsby? Nick and Daisy. Interesting. Can we roll one of those three into, like, can we make this love triangle? Not a triangle.
A line? Shake yeah. you.
Mm-hmm. I'm just
Googling. I know you're watching the movie.
Yeah, okay, okay. So
please talk. No phone.
I was looking up a fact because I was wondering if there was another Gatsby parallel here, because I wasn't sure if I had it right in my head, but I do. Gatsby is kind of based on F. Scott Fitzgerald himself, right? Like, he's like, yeah, I totally drew inspiration from myself for this character.
Yes.
Truman Capote got in a lot of trouble for writing Breakfast at Tiffany's because he based it on all these people he knew in New York. And, like, totally,
that's
like...
so fucking funny.
He was sued at one point. He was unsuccessfully sued for libel and invasion of privacy by a Manhattan resident named Bonnie Golightly, who claimed that he had based Holly on her.
That's so funny.
Which is so fucking funny. And then there was this whole thing when it came out. Like, after it came out, can I find it on this? There's a great article from bookriot.com, and I will actually link it in the description of this, because it's so good. About, like, the history of it and, like, what's going on. Yeah, so after the first publication of Breakfast at Tiffany's in 1958, flocks of women all over New York City began to announce that they were the real-life inspiration for Holly Golightly, beginning what Capote referred to as the Holly Golightly sweepstakes.
That's so funny.
I love that. Like, every woman in New York was like, oh, she's me. She's so me.
I am her. I am her.
Yeah, which I love. And then, I mean, there's, yeah, and, like, Gatsby was based on, like, Fitzgerald himself, and, like, Truman Capote definitely based the short story writer on himself a little bit. Like, there's no way he didn't draw inspiration from his own life.
I mean, if you're writing about a writer, you're writing about yourself.
Yeah, right? And he also said that Holly was, like, his favorite character that he ever wrote. Like, he was, like, she's the one who's nearest to my heart. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute.
It's so cute. I wasn't sure if you knew about any of that, and I'm like, we have to talk about it, because that's crazy.
I know nothing. I didn't even know what the plot going in. I hadn't seen the movie. I didn't know anything about it. I just knew there was no breakfast at Tiffany's. I knew it was like a saying, not a real thing.
Well, no, she goes and has breakfast there.
I know, but
you it can't is a real thing.
Go there for breakfast.
No, no.
That's what I knew. Breakfast.
She just goes stand outside. You haven't even seen the opening credits? Where she goes and stands outside in her fabulous fucking outfit and the hat and the pearls and the gloves, and she's got a little Danish and coffee. She just goes and looks outside Tiffany's.
The closest I've seen is, you know, the New Year's Eve movie?
No. But is it, like, kind of like Love Actually? And, like,
it's Ashton Kutcher. Yeah, exactly that. Uh-huh. So Zac Efron takes someone famous whose name I'm totally blanking on.
Zac Efron's in it? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay. Cute.
I know. Like, someone very famous, and I'm, like, embarrassed I'm blanking on this name. He takes her. She has this, like, bucket list. So he takes her to Tiffany's, and they have, like, a croissant in front of it. And
that's cute.
This is the closest I've been.
That's so cute. New York movie. New Year's movie.
It's 2011 called New Year's Eve. Yeah.
New Year's Eve. I want to know who you're talking about. Michelle Pfeiffer? Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah. No!
Yeah.
She's, like, twice Zac Efron's age.
Yeah. No, she's like, it's the whole thing.
63 years old.
It's not romantic. It's just, like, they're helping each other out.
She is 63 years old, and he is 33, and this was in 2011.
It's fine.
This was, like, barely post-High School Musical.
Don't worry. It's not romantic.
I don't care if it is or not. That's a weird vibe.
It was in a fun way. Anyway.
That's fun, though. I love that. Okay.
Don't you think Baz Luhrmann should remake the Breakfast at Tiffany's
movie? Yes. Absolutely. And I think you should do it true to the book. 100%.
Yes.
Because I want to see, like, Sally Tomato and the whole interchange with the police. Because, like, I don't think, if I'm remembering
that's
properly,
not in
that
it?
Doesn't happen. I don't think so. I watched it, like, 4 years ago was the last time I saw it. So I might be misremembering. God. But as far as I'm aware, Doc shows up, takes her back. Surprise, her name's not Holly Golightly. It's Lula Mae something or other.
Golightly?
No. Is it? It's I well, don't
he's
think that
like Docco lightly.
Yeah, but I think that's like
in the book, but maybe in the
Lula
movie.
Lula Mae Barnes. Lula Mae Barnes is her name.
Oh.
Oh no, he is Docco lightly. I don't know. That's fucking weird. But anyways, Lula Mae Barnes is her name. And now I guess she was Lula Mae Golightly, which is a fantastic last name.
Because she had a child wedding.
Yeah, she was 14.
Child bride. Yeah.
Which is so gross.
Disgusting.
Going on 14. Sorry, not actually 14. Wife and mother of my children. Yuck. I don't know. I love everything about her. She's so wonderful. She is a great character.
She
like,
is.
Out of the whole Western canon, she's one of the tops.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I drink to that, for sure.
I'm Cheers. Drinking. Absolutely.
Mm. And I know you hate this character, but listen to this quote. Meg, right? That's her name?
May or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Meg, I don't know. Nah. Whoever Katie hated, suddenly she was blind, and since gin to artifice bears the same relation as tears to mascara, her attractions at once dissembled. She shook it out on everyone. She called her hostess a Hollywood degenerate. She invited a man in his 50s to fight. She told Berman Hitler was right. She exhilarated Rusty Trawler by stiff-arming him into a corner. "You know what's gonna happen to you?" she said with no hint of a stutter. "I'm gonna march you over to the zoo and feed you to the yak." The funniest thing is he looked altogether willing, and then she got pissed off. He was like, yeah, Phoebe did the yak.
Oh, no.
That's just the funniest quote. Me at a party, schwasted, just spewing obscenities and just picking fights. God.
Well, yeah, because it's all men, and then like Holly and May or Meg or whatever the hell.
I know, right? And then you say, she has syphilis.
Yeah.
Ooh, when she's in the bathroom, oopsies.
Oh, you know how these southern girls are. Yeah, I guess you would, wouldn't you, Lula Mae? Wouldn't you, Lula Mae?
Yeah. Huh.
Interesting.
Huh.
Tell us more about how these southern girls are.
Bitch.
Yeah. Let's talk about that phrase, though. Gin is to artifice the same relationship as tears to mascara. Oh!
Beautiful. Oh my god. Stop. That's why I.
A work of art.
Took a picture of the quote. I was like, yes. Mm-hmm. And then it just continued to be hilarious. But that's art.
That is
Holy
art.
Holy shit.
That is, it's so much art. It's just.
So much art.
Yeah, it's Meg. I fully had her name wrong. It's Meg.
Meg.
Oops.
Whoopsies.
Oh, well.
We drunk. We are.
Yeah, it's fine.
I don't know about you. I'm drunk.
Oh, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. She goes.
Catch up.
I'm trying. Sorry. Some festivals are liquor better than others, Julia.
That's true. You do hold it better than me, Katie.
Yeah, so you're like, I've had 3 drinks. And I'm like, okay, cute. I've had 4. I'm still waiting. But.
No, I've had 5 or 6. This might be my 7th.
Oh, maybe you need to slow down then. Goddamn.
I know, right?
You're going to fall asleep. Okay.
What?
Yeah. Do you know what I love? First of all, I have one quote that I love. I have one quote that I love.
Regale me.
Well, no. I just think it's hilarious.
Bitch. Regale me.
I'm trying to. I have to contextualize. Okay. I have to set a preface.
I'll stop talking.
I just think it's cute that she's like, oh, I wouldn't pick, because she's like, oh, like, I wouldn't pick Jose. Like, if I could pick anybody in the world, I wouldn't pick Jose. I don't know how to pronounce the last name. Whatever. Someone, he's nearer the mark. Wendell Willkie. I'd settle for Garbo any day. Why not? A person ought to be able to marry men or women or... Listen, if you came to me and said you wanted to hitch up with Man of War, I'd respect your feeling. No, I'm serious. Love should be allowed. I'm all for it. Now that I've got a pretty good idea of what it is. I think that's so fucking funny. Like, it's so cute. It's very cute. It's, like, very much so. Like, Truman Capote was, like, a flaming homosexual. So, like, absolutely, of course, this book is going to be gay as hell. And also, like, Holly, like, introduces herself and, like, she's like, yeah, I'm a bit of a dyke. And I'm like... Honey, that's so cute. How fun of you. So, you you know. And then she's like, yeah. And also, I'd totally get married to Greta Garbo. I think that's I think that's fantastic. I think anybody should be allowed to love now that I finally figured it out. That's such like an 18-year-old, like, I know what love is. And so everyone should get to experience it all the time. Like, I think that's so cute. That's so cute.
It's very cute.
Yeah. I forgot what the other thing I was going to say was, but I just think that's so cute. She's adorable.
It's very cute. I love her.
Also, the fact that Rusty's, like, totally gay. And, like, so can't figure it out. Yeah.
Four divorces.
Four divorces. Wonder why.
I wonder.
So fruity. Yeah, another fruity way little that this
book.
Is Gatsby.
Such a fruity little book.
Gatsby-esque. It's just so very fruity.
It's like 100 pages, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
We packed it in there.
Yeah. I found, like, a copy online because my copy is away from my home at the moment, but I found a copy online that's literally 25. I mean, it's 25 pages of, like, 2 pages each, so it's 50 pages. Like, it is a novella. Mm-hmm. But what did you think about Sally Tomato?
God. I want him to have a son so I can marry him.
You just want the last name Tomato. Perhaps. Be real.
Yeah. God, I loved him. He's so fucking funny. I loved him. I love an old mafia man.
We do love an old mafia man. We do love an old mafia man.
Yeah. What did you think about him?
I don't know. I just thought it was, like, really funny that she was like, yeah, I just go visit him once a week. And then the narrator was like, she totally did not know. She knew nothing about what she was doing. I'm like, dude.
Honey.
She's
honey.
Not that naive. She's like.
I know, right? You can believe it if you want. Yeah. But.
You can think whatever you want,
She's,
Paul.
Like, telling you. Paul, but, like, he's like, oh, my God, how's Sally Tomato? And she's like, do not bring that up in front of fucking feds. Like, she
literally.
Knew. She was like, don't bring that up. Don't bring
Shut
that up.
Shut the fuck
and
up. Like,
ah, she was shy.
he's so stupid the whole time. Like, he's so, like,
it's like
she's
Nick.
Naive.
Stupid.
He's yeah. Yeah. He's, like, worse than Nick, though, because he's not even, like, a little bit self-conscious. And, like, Nick is, like,
and he's
a little bit.
Not pretty, so annoying.
Yeah. So what the fuck?
Ugh. Straight man? Disgusting.
Super lame. Super lame. I'm so sad that we're not drinking White Angels, but I also wish that we were drinking White Angels, because what a bold way to start your day. Walking into a bar, and Joe Bell, the bar owner, because it's second page of
God,
this book.
God, I love him so much.
He's like, let me pour you a White Angel. It's one part gin, one part vodka. So much of their behavior is explained by that.
Exactly. You're drinking a cocktail. It's like, welcome to this novel. Here we are setting it up.
One part gin, one part vodka. Oh my God.
I love how that he talked. He's like, let me build you a drink. I'm going to build you a drink.
I
it's
love
not
that.
Make it. It's like, it makes me feel like, it's like cottagecore. Like, I am going to build a drink especially for you. I'm going to get tiny little hammers and tiny little nails. I'm going to build you a drink.
No, I love that. That's so cute.
Right?
Oh my God. I read the whole book in like a mid-Atlantic accent. So all of it, every single thing that they say is so charming. I was just looking at the final lines of the book, which are just, they hit.
And so we beat on boats against the current, born back. Oh, sorry, wrong novel.
Oopsies, we got them mixed up again. I think it's on par, though. Like, maybe not on par, because, like, I think it's kind of weird to, like, it's definitely not as, like, eloquently poetic as, like, And So We Beat On, whatever. But it's got the same vibes. I don't know how I didn't pick up on the fact that this was literally Great Gatsby 2.0. Thank you for bringing that up to me.
Girlie, you're welcome. This is what I'm here for. This is why we started this podcast.
Yeah.
But no, it's still the same heart-wrenching. You have the best reading voice. Please read it.
Oh, you want me to use, like, my pretentious bitch voice? Okay. Hi.
Yeah.
My name is Katie. I write poetry. Paul, the unnamed narrator, is looking for the cat, and he finally finds him. And it goes, But one day, one cold, sunshiny Sunday winter afternoon, it was. Flanked by potted plants and framed by clean lace curtains, he was seated in the window of a warm-looking room. I wondered what his name was, for I was certain he had one now, certain he'd arrived somewhere he belonged. African hut, or whatever, I hope Holly has, too. Oh!
Beautiful.
Oh! I love it.
I love it.
Also, I love the fact that the cat just doesn't have a name. She's like, yeah, I can't name him.
At all.
What are you talking about?
We're independent.
We don't belong to each other. Like, it's just...
Yeah, poor kitty. Unfortunately, though, I want to name every single cat. Like, I want to own cats, and I have every name based off of novel characters, so I'm like,
how? Oh, yeah? Okay. Well, now I need to know, what are your ideal cat names? If you could name the cat in this book, what would you name it? And then also, what would you name any cat ever?
Okay. I don't know what I named the cat in the book. I wasn't prepared, but right off the bat, Jay Catsby, number one cat name.
Oh my god, yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Wow. That's so good.
Also, the cat in this book is like an orange cat, and he's stupid. And it speaks to everything in my heart. I just want a stupid little orange cat.
This stupid little orange cat who just finds you.
And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, like, please give me my Jay Catsby. But I don't know. I don't think the cat in this book is mine. You know, I can't name him.
Oh, that's very Holly of you.
It's definitely not a cop out.
Aw. Cute. I'd probably want me to go tiger because I'm not. Interesting. Yeah, I do want you to Tiger's go off, cute. Actually. Anyways, go off. I want to hear whatever you have to say.
I don't think you do. So take a little sip of your drink while I regale you with this is my mini course breakfast and lunch brunch menu, I would serve based on the book with cocktail pairings.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. First off, we have a white angel. That's just an egg white omelet, baby. Okay?
Oh, you're not serving real white angels?
Tasty. That's
at brunch? The
pairing.
Oh,
that's
okay, fair.
The cocktail pairing.
Fun.
Right? So we have a food and a drink to match. That's actually what food
I
and
love
a cocktail pairing is.
Like, I'm stupid. Yeah. I'm dumb. Anyways.
So, egg white omelet. You know, you gotta have your salt, pepper, your green onions, everything, but that's all I can think of for the egg white omelet. But yummy.
Is there anything
local
else in the omelet?
Rich people gonna eat it.
Just cheese, egg whites,
probably white cheese.
Okay.
Mozzarella.
Yum.
You know,
gonna
be tasty. Oh my god.
Well, now I'm hungry. Continue, please.
It's gonna get worse.
Oh no.
Tiffany's egg caviar. So it's like scrambled eggs, caviar on top, served with champagne.
God.
Or you know the champagne cocktails with like a with like a sugar cube and then you pour champagne.
Yes. Yeah.
Tiffany's eggs caviar with a champagne cocktail.
Oh my god, yum. Okay.
Another option. Okay, and then we need something olivey to invoke martinis, because you gotta have martinis at brunch. So I'm feeling like an olive bread toast with like a tapenade on it. It's very savory, so it's more of the brunch thing. But some people don't like the sweet breakfast.
I don't. I'm a savory breakfast person all the way.
Okay, then you'll hate this next option, which is Havana Club rum with like waffles and or pancakes with like a rum syrup drizzle.
Ooh.
Right? Because she goes to Havana, Miss Holly.
Yes, she does.
With that Brazilian man.
Jose.
And I'm like, Jose. I'm like, okay, Havana Club rum. Obviously. And of course, it's set in New York. So, what do you think I'm going to mention right now? What do you.
A Manhattan.
Yeah, eating though, food.
Bagels.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, okay.
We gotta have New York bagels, although, like, mm-hmm. Montreal bagels are better, but we gotta have New York bagels, mm-hmm. and we gotta have bagels and lox.
Oh, yeah.
Because New York.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
With capers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Of course, we're not fucking savages.
No, God. No. And a Manhattan to drink?
For sure. For sure.
I love that.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? There's two more courses, too.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Next course, Lululemon's Tex-Mex Crepe Breakfast Burrito.
Okay. Because she do be from Texas.
She do be from Texas. So we have a crepe as the base instead of a tortilla. And Ooh. Then we just have like a savory crepe, you know, with like mm-hmm, a meat mm-hmm. and sort of like cheese filling.
Yum, yum.
Not the Nutella banana that I would prefer, but, you know, it's Lululemon's. So you gotta have the Tex-Mex. Okay, cool. This last one, I think you'll like the most. So, a Brazilian Benedict. So, eggs Benny with guac and tomatoes served with house rice. And this Pio de Queijo. I know I'm pronouncing it wrong, but it's like Brazilian cheese bread.
Yum. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm so hungry now.
So, those would be my breakfast at Tiffany's, like, meals. And then I have whole other drinks. So, because they go to Miami...
Yes.
That's Florida. So we got to have a bunch of orange juice based drinks.
Mimosas.
Screwdrivers. Mm. Bellinis are peach, but also like close enough. And then because of Sally Tomato, we got to have our tomato based drinks. So we got our Caesars / Bloody Marys and our Red Eyes. Have you ever had a Red Eyes beer and tomato juice?
Oh, I want God, that. No, I haven't. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I love a Caesar. I love a Bloody Mary. Beer and tomato juice?
Yeah, like a lager, like a nice, like, light kind of beer with tomato juice. I think it'll be good. Have you had one? Anyway.
Well.
No, never. I want one.
Okay, I'm wondering if, like, beer and Clamato juice would be.
I mean, it would be the same with the sweet, sweet clam brine.
That's sweet, sweet clam brine. Yum, yum.
Yum, yum, yum. Rhyme.
I'm 100% being real because I fucking love Clamato juice.
I fucking love the sweet, sweet clam rhyme.
Caesar, yeah. But yeah. maybe we'll have to try Red Eyes for the next thing that we drink that could be absolutely applicable. Jesus Christ.
Fuck yeah, bitch. Okay. also. This brunch, if we were in a perfect world, it would be at Joe Bell's. There would be complimentary Tums on the plates, like pillow mints.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Oh, and there'd be a live shitty guitarist. Like, do you remember Hoko second year? Same vibes.
Yeah. Anyways.
Hate that just the way. That's my monologue. Bone off the teeth.
I fucking love it. What a menu. You put some planning into this. And I hope that people are listening to this. Did. I mean, I know that
Hannah
don't usually. Yeah. Well, you know, if you're listening to this on a Sunday morning over your breakfast, which, like, that would be real bold of you, and I love it, but I doubt that there's anyone doing that. I'm sorry that you're not eating this
for breakfast.
I usually
listen to it hungover in bed.
Yeah, because we've recorded Sunday an episode. Morning.
Yeah.
I usually don't listen to it, and then you have to text me when I get the fucking title wrong on Spotify, and you're like, can you fix that, please? It's like 11 in the morning.
Getting greasy. I was so hungover when I said that. I was like, I'm gonna die, but please change this, because I can't, because I'm gonna die.
I was in the middle of hour two of, like, Marie Kondoing my whole closet. So I love that we have, like, very different versions of a hungover. That's fun. The dichotomy of man, really. No, the duality.
Fucking, I'll drink to the that.
Getting literate. I fucking love that menu. I think that's so good. I really want to eat brunch now. Before we go to titles of essays that we might possibly write about this, how did you? Okay, so I know that the narrator is like Nick Carraway to you.
Yeah,
but he was also straight.
Boring.
Did you? Yeah. Was he just boring? Like, is that your total thoughts and feelings? Like,
no, sorry. That was my response to a straight man.
fair. Yeah, 100%. Make it fruity or I'm not interested.
Thank you. Either make it a woman or make it pretty. Thank you.
There it is. Yeah. Well, are we only interested in books that are interested in men? Where the narrator is interested in men? And we don't want to read a book where they're interested in a woman? Where their primary object of affection is a woman?
I don't think so. I think it has to do with being a man's mind. Oh,
absolutely. But I'm wondering if there's, like, a sneaky it's a little good factor. I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's really interesting on both of our parts. But anyways, society. We're going to leave it at that. Cheers. Okay, so, yeah, cheers. I will drink to that. Oh, also, Breakfast at Tiffany's has a narrator that is, I don't straight. Know what I was saying, trying to say. Yeah, he's straight. fuck, where was I going with this?
I don't know. You said he's straight. How did you feel?
Oh, we here on Getting Literate. We here on Getting Literate despise the male point of view. Sometimes, we usually. Do. Most of the time. More mostly often than not.
Canon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you feel about this male? I know you thought it was boring a little bit. How did you feel about this male point of view?
I was just joking.
Oh, no, same. No, I was, like, a little bit bored, too, because everybody else in this book was, like, kind of fruity a little bit. And then he was like, I am simply solely interested in Holly.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I was, like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, where I'm, like, really, Jake is the main character, and we have Rosa fucking Diaz, Amy Santiago, Gina.
Jake's bi as hell.
Literally every other cooler just, like, character.
They don't let him be bi as hell.
I know. I'm also talking about, like, early seasons.
Oh, Jake, absolutely. It's character. The way that, like, The Good Place, to name another, like, Mike Shore American sitcom.
That was bi erasure.
Oh, totally. It's the way that, like, Eleanor is bi, but, like, they never actually say it. Uh-huh. But, like, she's just, like, more outwardly so. Mike Shore likes to make his main characters bi, but, like, just doesn't talk about it. Anyways.
I know. But it's okay for women to be fruity, but not
Yeah, bad. It's fine. It's totally fine because it's hot and sexy. Society, once again. The same way that, like, Cheers. Fred was totally, like, her brother Fred was totally, I didn't know this until I started, like, reading it, because I looked up, I knew that there was, like, I am so off topic from what I was trying to say, but I don't care, I'm just gonna keep talking. I tried to look up, because I knew that there was controversy around Truman Capote writing Breakfast at Tiffany's, and I wanted to know exactly what it was before we went into this today, and so I looked it up, and apparently, Fred was totally fruity. Like, he was a fruit. He was a fruit through and through.
Really?
Yeah. And that's, like, a thing. A and peach? Apparently. A what?
Peach.
Oh. I thought you called him a bitch, and I was like, what? But yeah, he was a fruit. He was a little stone fruit. And that's why she calls him Maud at one point.
Oh.
Like, she refers to him as Maud. Apparently, like, he's supposed to be, like, a little fruit boy. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. But everybody else is fruity. Paul, the narrator, is not fruity. His name's not Paul. He's not got a name. Anyways, whatever. It doesn't matter. How did you feel about this male gaze? Is what the question I was originally trying to ask was.
It was fine. Like, yeah. You know, when you're reading books, you gotta be...
Yeah.
Ready to read about the male gaze, right? It was, tolerable. It was, like, fine.
Yeah.
You know? How did you feel? It wasn't bad.
Yeah. It wasn't bad. I felt like it was, like, kind of like we talked about earlier. It was, like, you can tell that he is dumb and he's putting shit onto Holly that, like, he should not be. Like, she's so naive. She could not have known that she was committing a federal crime. Yeah.
A man who cannot form a healthy attachment.
Absolutely. But you can, like, see through it because, like, Truman Capote is just, like, a skilled writer that he was able to, like, do it objectively. So I kind of vibed with it a little bit. But I was also like, I want this from Holly's point of view and Holly's point of view only. Thank you. So.
I know, right?
I was a little annoyed with him, but, like, not intensely so.
Yeah. Have you seen Moulin Rouge?
Okay, horrifically enough, I have not.
Write this down. August 21st, 2021, I saw a movie that Katie has watched. Anyway, it gave me Moulin Rouge vibes,
too. Oh, okay. I know, like, the vibes mm-hmm. of Moulin Rouge. I just, like, haven't seen it.
So. Mm-hmm. Like, Nicole Kidman, Holly Golightly, Naive, fucking... Why are men so fucking uncompelling?
Because they don't think that they have to compel you to anything.
That's true. Anyway, before we lose 0.1% of our viewership...
Essays. Yeah. I'm really excited about my essay. I would actually, like, want to Hell write yeah. this for a class, like, because it would be, like, a lot of, like, research and stuff, and I think that it would be really fun. But, yeah. So I'm going to go first. I'm just going to go.
and yeah, I would call save it... Save the first for best.
Not best, necessarily, but just fun and interesting, in my opinion, because I'm making it up on the spot. The Holly Golightly Phenomenon, Examining the Definitions of Sex Work Through the Lens of Breakfast at Tiffany's.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would, like, because, like, okay, because, like, Truman Capote, like, literally said, like, she's not a prostitute. And I'm like, no, she's an escort. She goes out with men and dates them and mm-hmm. gets money from them. She just, like, doesn't necessarily sleep with them unless they're really rich, mm-hmm. in which case, yeah, she will. And, like, that's mm-hmm. essentially sugar babying. It's like whatever, like yeah. it's how some people might be sugar babying still. Like, it's like that's maybe not sex work, but it's definitely like a variation of it, you know, even if it doesn't necessarily exactly mm-hmm. involve sex, there's still like emotions and like physicality and like eroticism that's like built into that. And he was like, yeah, she's not a prostitute, she's an American geisha. And I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean? And also, like, are you using that term correctly? Like, I think that's a real That's a choice of phrasing, Truman, but he had a lot of choices mm-hmm. of phrasing in this book because it was written in the 1950s. Really, so, mm-hmm. and he was childhood friends with Harper Lee, who, you yeah. know, so is there more? There's more to her name, right?
No.
Harper Lee sounds unfinished.
She is unfinished.
Yeah, there it is, isn't it? But yeah, so I think mm-hmm. that it would just be interesting to look at that and, like, see, like, what constitutes, like, sex work and, like, what mm-hmm. definitions we draw as a society, like, starting with Breakfast at Tiffany's and kind of looking at it, like, from then till now.
That's so interesting.
Right? Right? Because there are still, like, I don't know what it is about my TikTok For You page, but they're, like, POV, you're a 19-year-old asking, like, her boomer boyfriend for more money. And it's always, like, 30-something comedians who are, like, playing the role of, like, the boomer boyfriend or whatever. But it's, like, mm-hmm. like, it's always, like, oh, and then somebody duets it, and they are pretending to be, like, the 19-year-old GF or whatever, and they're, like, yeah, can you, like, make another deposit? Like, it's, like, they're looking for money from these guys, and so I'm, like, so is that mm-hmm. sex work? Or are we saying that she's dating him? Because they haven't set out a formal mm-hmm. agreement. Like, is she, you know, like, what do we consider sex work, and what do we consider sex work in this book? Like, I remember I was talking to someone who, this was years and years ago, but I was talking to someone and they were like, yeah, Holly Golightly is like my favorite character in all of like Western canon. And I was like, oh my god, same. And they were like, yeah, I love her so mm-hmm. much, like she's like so cool, I wonder what she does for a job. And I was like, well, she's an escort. And they were like, what? Mm-hmm. What do you mean she's an escort? And I'm like, well, she goes on dates with men for money, like what else do you call that? And so it's just interesting. Yeah. I think it'd be really interesting, and I want to look at it more, and especially like through this lens specifically, because like she's so like, this is what I do. But, like, Truman Capote and the narrator refuse to call it that. And I don't know. I just mm-hmm. think it's interesting.
I feel like that's interesting, like, to, like, a take on, like, male honor and, like...
Yeah!
A weird take on, like, how men, quote-unquote, honor women.
Yeah. And, like, they pay her to, like, not for the date, not for the actual service that she's providing, which is, like, romantic... semblance of romantic... Mm-hmm. you know, reciprocation and, mm-hmm. like, attraction and companionship. But they pay her for cab fare, mm-hmm. which is way more than it needs to be. Mm-hmm. And they pay her to go to the bathroom, which I guess is, like, to tip the attendant or something. I don't really know how bathrooms work. And I don't know why they're giving her $50 bills. Like, is it, like, to do coke with? I don't know. But
I don't understand.
But, yeah, so they're not paying her directly. So it's, like, mm-hmm. what? But, yeah, definitely male honor. Like, oh, I don't have to pay a woman to go out with me. Like, you do, you just don't set it up formally like that. I think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that a lot.
I think so too.
Yeah, thank you. What would you do an essay about?
I'd call it Cats in Cages, Examining Freedom in Breakfast at Tiffany's. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yes, yes.
The zoo. Mm-hmm. Animals in the zoo. But also, like, Holly goes to jail. There's so many people in jail in this novel.
Yeah.
She's talking about, like, her, like, the Never Love a Wild Thing Mr. Bell speech. How she goes to, like, the African savannah, and that's where she's last, like, spotted, and, like, African wild safari, like, ooh.
Yeah.
And just, like, the freedom to flip between, like, partners, like, I just think that's very interesting.
Oh, totally. And there's that whole motif of the birdcage, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so... Yeah. Oh, that's so good. I love that. I love the title. Cats in Cages. That's fantastic. And also... Oh my god, you just, like, opened my third eye for me. You opened my third eye. Mm-hmm. Okay. The fucking cat is, like, an independent spirit, free to do whatever, right? Like, she's like, I don't own him.
Mm-hmm.
And then she lets him go. And at the end of the novel, like, the narrator's like, yeah, like, he found somewhere to live. Like, I hope that Holly finds that too. But, like, do you want that for her? Or do you want her to be trapped and kept somewhere? Like... Is she is she free at the end of it, like, on her own in the African savannah, or is she, or do you want her to be trapped, right? Like, that's, I'm not being as eloquent as, like, my third eye was when you first opened it, but, like, that kind of thing, like, what does he wish for her, and what does he define as freedom? I love that. Oh, my God. Your brain is so big.
Thank you.
Wow.
Our brain cell really working overtime.
She tried hard. Well, we didn't read this simultaneously. I think that's why we have, like, smarter thoughts about it. We weren't reading it at the same time. I think I read it, like, 5 days before you. And then she was like, oh, I can, like, work full time on this one. I don't have to, like, split.
Excellent. I can mull on it individually. I can marinate, like, fine wine or kimchi.
Ferment, yeah. Amazing. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Fucking cheers.
Fucking cheers. I finished my drink, but fucking cheers.
Well, if you finish your drink, there's no point to continue.
Yes. Parting thoughts?
I kind of want to go to New York. I wish COVID was over.
Just a little?
Go. A lot, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I want to be Holly Golightly without the traumatic, tragic past, but yeah. I want to be her. Yeah, I understand the the Holly Golightly sweepstakes. Cool.
Okay, well,
this has been an episode of Getting Literate. We certainly got literate.
Yeah, we got lit, that's for sure.
Thanks for
I'm Julia.
I'm Katie. Thanks for talking with us. Cheers.
Thank y'all. This has been an episode of Getting Literate with Julia Honadel and Katie McCullough.
Be sure to follow us on social media at Getting Literate on all platforms, and follow the podcast from wherever you're listening for more opportunities to get lit and get literate.